and welcome to An Encouraged Heart. This is Cynthia, and thank you for joining me today. We are wrapping up week 4 of Loving God and Others, the Heart of True Faith. If you have not purchased the Bible study, please go online to Precept Ministries. Today, I will share with you 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 3 through 8. Let's first, of course, begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as I wrap up week 4 lessons, I ask that you continue to show us our hearts as we study your word. Help us to walk in love the way that you have shown us and called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your workbooks, I will begin on page 56. In the observation section, it says, as we bring this lesson to a close, let's look at one of the best descriptions of Christian love. Again, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 3 through 8. And we're going to mark every reference to the word love, including pronouns, with a heart. Okay? Beginning in verse 3, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So mark love. Love is patient. Mark love. Love is kind. Mark love again. And is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Mark love again. Moving on to verse 5. Does not act unbecoming. It does not seek its own. So of course mark it. Is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Moving on to verse 6, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Verse 7, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And verse 8, love never fails. Of course, mark love there. Now, I'm going to actually talk about these verses. Now, although, for example, if we go back to verse 5 and 6 and even 7, it says here, does not act unbecoming. So, of course, even though we don't see the word love, that's the implication. It does not seek its own, is not provoked. Of course, the implication in each of these phrases, of course, is the word love. Going on to, again, verse 6, it says, does not rejoice in unrighteousness. So we're talking about love again, but rejoices with the truth. We're speaking about love. So even though the word itself is not there, it's referring to love. Okay. So some of you may want to mark those phrases. Again, verse 7 says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Each statement, each description, each phrase is, of course, talking about love. Okay, so let's look at the questions here. There are two questions. The first is, what did you learn about the relationship between love and good works in verse 3? Explain your answer. So I'm going to actually go back to verse 3, and it says, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So here clearly we see that it says here, doing things for others without love, no matter what the sacrifice is, does me no good. We are to be sure that our motivation for doing good is not to get a pat on the back, for example, but to simply express our love for others. So our motivation has to be born out of love. Okay. Moving on to the second question, it says, look at every place you mark love, discuss each description and the practical ways it can be applied in a believer's life. So as I said before, even though we did not mark love throughout the entire passage, love was implied in every description, of course. Okay, so I'm going to walk us through verses 4 through 7, and then we'll look at verse 8 as well. Okay. So, one of the descriptions here that starts us off in verse 4, it says love is patient. So here, what we can do certainly is give others the latitude, the freedom to make mistakes. Okay. The next description, it says love is kind. One example could be showing consideration and just being supportive of others. Okay, the next says love is not jealous. So we need to celebrate the accomplishments of others without envy. The next description says love does not brag and is not arrogant. So here, we, of course, should not be prideful. We should not have that prideful attitude, but we should be more inclined to put others first, okay? The next description says, in verse 5, love does not act unbecomingly. Okay, here, as far as putting it into practical use, we are to be courteous and respectful towards others, okay? The next one says, love does not seek its own. We are willing to put others first and take a back seat at times. Also, it goes on to say in verse 5 that love does not seek its own. Okay, I'm sorry, I just read that. The next is love is not provoked. This is about resisting the urge to get upset easily. That's one way, and that could certainly play out in practical living. Also, it goes on to say love does not take into account a wrong suffered. So we are not to keep score of who have wronged us. We are to be willing to extend forgiveness. Okay, let's look at the descriptions that are in 6 and 7. We have here, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. We are not to engage in inappropriate talk, such as gossip. Instead, we are to focus on what is true and wholesome. For example, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Okay. The next description, love bears all things. So we are to be willing to endure even during difficult times. We know that the Lord will empower us and give us grace in difficult times. Again, we as believers, we have His Holy Spirit to help us to, as I said, to endure difficult situations and difficult times. Also, a description that's mentioned here is love believes all things. So we are choosing to look for the best in people. Love hopes all things. We are to put our trust in the Lord, certainly to work out every situation according to His perfect will. It may not be what we desire, but we're putting our hope, not in the circumstance, but we're putting our hope in the Lord. Okay. Also in verse 7, it says love endures all things. So again, we know that we can endure all things with the Lord's help. So we call on the Lord certainly for help so that we can remain steadfast during challenging times. And verse 8 says love never fails. And we know that God's love is everlasting. And I thought about God's love, and I thought about as well a specific scripture, Romans 8:38-39, which says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so we have a lot to really meditate and pray about in this particular passage. Again, what we saw were descriptions of love and how they are to be lived out by the believer. So again, I tried to give you some examples to express love. And again, it's something that we can do, but again, we certainly need the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to love others the way He's called us to. Okay. Now I'm going to spend just a few minutes in the wrap it up section, so bear with me as I read that to you. It says, Christian love is not a warm, fuzzy feeling that believers try to work up so they can get along with one another. It is a matter of the will rather than an emotion. It is a matter of determining, of making up your mind that you will allow God's love to reach others through you and then acting toward them in loving ways. You are not to act as if you love them. You act because you love them. This is not hypocrisy. It is obedience to God. Jesus did not ask us to do something that he has not already done himself. He demonstrated love by the very life that he lived. He hated all sin and disobedience, but he never hated the people who committed such sins. Even his righteousness announcements of judgment always included an undercurrent of love. Let me repeat that. Even his righteous announcements, even his announcements of judgment, always included an undercurrent of love. Think of Jesus's love for the 12 disciples. They must have broken his heart as they argued over who was the greatest or tried to keep people from seeing him. Each was different from the others, yet Jesus loved each one in a personal, understanding way. He was patient with Peter's impulsiveness and even with Thomas's unbelief. When Jesus commanded his disciples to love one another, he was only telling them to do as he had done. In effect, Jesus said to them and to us, I live by this great commandment, and I can enable you to follow my example. Again, I live by this great commandment, and I can enable you to follow my example. It is easy to practice a Christianity of words, singing the right songs, using the right vocabulary, praying the right prayers, yet through it all, deceiving ourselves into thinking we are pleasing God. But we challenge you to ask yourself, how do I respond when a brother or sister in Christ doesn't meet the standard I expect? This is the true test for the believer. Okay, so again, these are also words to really ponder and to pray about as well. Well, as always, I encourage you to go back and reread and meditate on this week's passages. We were given a lot to think about and pray about, certainly. Also, if you have not already done so, please share my podcast with a friend. Take care, and I look forward to you joining me next time. God bless.